Please be seated, and we'll have our first reading from the book of Colossians.
The reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, and page 956 on the Pew Bibles. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we stand for our gospel reading? This reading is from the book of John, the first chapter and the first 14 verses. John chapter 1. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has to come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Heavenly Father, be present by your Spirit. Be speaking to us by your Spirit. Be changing us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Please do have a seat. So this morning, we're going to attempt the meaning of life, the universe, and everything in three words. In the beginning. Okay, so it's a bit more complicated than that. But we have this beautiful passage from John's Gospel this morning, a passage that we normally hear in Advent or at Christmas time, and it's a real treat to find it here in the lectionary and an opportunity to delve deeper into it. I was really looking forward to having an overview of these 14 verses that we normally read so quickly at Christmas and move on from. I was thinking there must be so much in there that we could explore. And I didn't get past the first three words, because when John writes something, every word matters. Every phrase is just filled with meaning, and that's what we find here. So, in the beginning, these words which mean so much, the whole meaning of life, the universe, and everything, summed up by John in that phrase, in the beginning. Why? Because, first of all, that phrase, in the beginning, is a very clear reference back to Genesis chapter 1, isn't it? It doesn't take much imagination to recognize that reference there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John is saying that right back there at the very beginning, at the inception of the universe and all things, Jesus was. Jesus was there. He was with God. And all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Jesus infuses the whole of the world that we know, everything we can see and touch and hear and observe. This is a Jesus-centered universe that we are living in. Everything around us is shaped by him, was made for him. As our Colossians reading says, everything holds together in him. Now, sometimes we think about this in very big terms, don't we? I think we find it easy to think about Jesus or about God as the creator of the planets and the stars and the vast expanses of the universe, of the seasons, of the great oak trees. But it's easy to forget, to overlook, that he's in all the little things as well. Everything that we know, everything we can observe, is Jesus-shaped, Jesus-filled. There is nothing he doesn't understand because he made all of it. Our most complicated relationships, our most challenging physical problems, the things that really get under our skin, he's in them and he knows all about them. I was reminded of this a few weeks ago. You may have noticed, although I'm hoping some of you might not have noticed, we've been having a lot of trouble with the laptop that we use for projecting words on the screen. Oh, no, you did notice, didn't you? All right. We've been having a lot of trouble with it. And a few weeks ago, I was in the vestry, sort of venting some of my frustration about this blasted technology. And one of the Eucharistic assistants said, God bless our computer. And I thought, yeah, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't we, you know, because actually it's easy to forget that God understands every little electron flowing through those cables. He understands every little twist and turn of what's going on in that computer in a way that we have no idea about. And I don't think it is a coincidence that a couple of weeks later we discovered that there was a software patch that the manufacturer of the computer had put out which addressed the very problems we were having. It plugged in first time this morning, didn't it, Bob? No problem. This is a Jesus-shaped universe. There is nothing in it that isn't something he knows all about, that he doesn't understand, that he isn't involved in. It is a world and a universe full of purpose and direction and meaning because there is a human, a personality, a power, a force, Jesus, in all of it. In all of it. So in the beginning, a Jesus-shaped universe. That's what our universe is all about. That's the meaning of the universe. But there's more than that. In the beginning is also a reference to the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. You'll remember that the first verse of Mark is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, scholars will spend a lot of time debating with each other in a really quite tedious and boring way which of the Gospels came first. Is it Mark written first or is John written first? The reality is that the Gospels seem to be so interwoven, it's almost a pointless question asking that. They seem to cross-refer to each other in complicated and intricate ways that is very difficult to unpick. But what both John and Mark are wanting us to understand is that when the Gospels start, it's like there's a whole new beginning. It's like that creative force there right at the beginning that brought the universe into being is at work again, doing something new and spectacular on that sort of scale again. The beginning of the good news, as Mark puts it. The beginning of the good news that transforms this universe that we know and understand. And John uses slightly different phrases to say the same thing. He talks about the coming of the light into the darkness. He talks about the coming of life. There is something spectacular going on here as the beginning of the good news unfolds in the Gospels. And so we see in the life of Jesus somebody who offers hope. He offers good news into our world. The good news beginning was so important to the people of that time. They knew that they needed some good news. The people in the first century, well, to be honest, they thought that what they needed was liberation from the Romans. But actually, their problems were much deeper than that. They were going through the motions of a religion that they were finding had gone dead in their hands. At the end of the Old Testament, Elijah says that he sees God's glory depart from the temple. And we find in Jesus' time, they're still going through the rituals of the temple, even though Elijah has said, God is no longer in that. They are finding that their religion no longer brings a sense of the presence of God. It no longer brings them life. It seems to instead enslave them and ensnare them. And so here is the good news. It is a person, Jesus Christ, the one who comes and is presence and hope and light and life to these people. He is a whole new beginning, the beginning of this good news. Don't you get a sense, as you look around, that our society is in desperate need of some good news? Again, I was struck by that last verse from Colossians that we had read, that Jesus brings peace, he brings redemption, he brings forgiveness of sins. He brings things that our society seems very short of at the moment. People don't seem at all at peace. They seem very unhappy, unsettled in their own skins, mental health problems going through the roof and overwhelming the NHS. We have a society that in so many respects is in need of some good news. And here it is, says John. Here it is, says Mark, the good news of Jesus Christ. We as a church, as a PCC leading this church, have been exploring how we can be as good a church as we can be, do the things that God has called us to. And one of the things we want to focus on is making sure we are giving people a chance to decide that this good news is for them. To actually decide that they want their lives to change from what they are now and to become something new and hope-filled and life-filled and light-filled. And so we've put quite a significant amount of the budget aside to support the Alpha course. We've been talking about whether there are other places where people can explore and to decide that this is what they want in their lives. They want good news. They want that beginning again, that recreation that comes from following him. Which isn't to say that everybody's story is the same. It's not to say that everybody has a day and an hour when they can say, on that moment, I prayed a prayer and became a Christian. I know that some of you can tell that story. I've heard some of those stories from you. But I haven't got that sort of a story. I can't tell you the day when I decided to become a Christian. But I can tell you that I've decided to become a Christian. I can tell you that my life is all about following this Jesus and receiving that good news. And we want to make sure that we are a church that does that, that offers people a chance to decide to receive the good news. So, in the beginning, it's about a Jesus-centered universe, the meaning of the world, the meaning of the universe, all centered on him. It is about the beginning of this good news that there is hope, light, and life in Jesus Christ. And there's one more allusion in John chapter 1 in the beginning, an allusion to Proverbs chapter 8. Of course, you'll all know what that's about. Yeah, lots of blank looks, well done. Proverbs chapter 8 is a really intriguing bit of the Old Testament in which it talks about in the beginning there being wisdom. And wisdom seems to be this personified character who is actually interacting with what's going on in creation. And this idea of wisdom is a very rich one in the Old Testament. It's about how now shall we live? It's about what should our lives look like as people of God? What makes for a good and flourishing life? So when we read books like Job or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or the Song of Solomon, those are the sorts of questions they're asking. What does it mean to live really well? In the autumn, we're going to have a short series on some of those Old Testament wisdom books to have a look at what they say. But what John is saying is this personification of wisdom at the beginning when the world is being created, that is Jesus. That is Jesus. If you want to know what it is to be wise, if you want to know what it is to live well, then look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And so we find that receiving Jesus, receiving the good news, isn't the end of the journey for a Christian. The calling from there is how to live good and holy lives, how to live lives of wisdom. So it's not just a beginning of a new life in Jesus, it's a beginning of a whole new way of living, a way of living which is holy and which makes a difference in our world. If you look at how Jesus lived, that's what John's inviting us to do. He's saying, if you want to know what wisdom and holiness looks like, look at Jesus. Then we see that he goes around bringing hope and liberation and freedom and peace. He goes around forgiving. He goes around setting people free from things that have enslaved them. He goes around redeeming, creating new life, bringing light and hope. And that's our calling. That's our calling too. A life of holiness, a life that has decided to follow Jesus, is one that makes a difference in the world, one which has an impact on people around us as we invite them on this journey too, and we bring to them hope and purpose and meaning and direction. The beginning of a whole new adventure, the beginning of a whole new journey into holiness and flourishing and life. So there it is, the meaning of life, the universe and everything, in three words, in the beginning of all creation, we live in a Jesus-centered universe, the beginning of the good news, an opportunity to decide to follow Jesus and receive a whole new life, a whole new beginning, and then an invitation to begin a lifelong journey into holiness and flourishing and life. Now, I was going to finish there, but then I remembered that we had written on the back of the newsletter about what the PCC have been up to, and how a few weeks ago we were trying to come up with a short phrase or sentence that would capture what we as a church are about, who we are, why we're here, and what we want to achieve, and how we're going to go about it. And we came up with this phrase, reaching out in the love of Jesus to bring hope and to change our world. And as I looked at that, I thought, oh, that's what we've just been talking about, isn't it? We're talking about a universe which makes sense when we understand it in the love of Jesus, when we realize that he is the center of this whole universe. So we're reaching out into a universe which is already all about him to declare his love. And then we're inviting people to begin a new life, a new way of living, by dealing with all those things that have gone wrong in their lives, by bringing hope. We're offering them the chance to begin with good news and to find hope. And then we're offering an opportunity to begin a journey of our changed life, which changes our world. Actually, it changes us first, but because it's changing us, it changes the people around us and it changes our community. And it changes the world slowly, one person at a time. So what's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? What's the meaning of this church? Well, I think they're all connected, aren't they? Reaching out in the love of Jesus to bring hope and to change our world is all about, in the beginning, what we're going to do, where we're going to go. That isn't set in stone. The reason that we put that on the back of the notice sheet is we want to know what you think. Does that capture who we are? And what we want to do and how we're going to go about it. Do have a chat with your PCC rep about that. But this week, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the meaning of our lives, the one who created, the one who recreates, and the one who fills our lives with purpose and meaning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus, the one who brings meaning and purpose into our lives. Thank you that he was there at the beginning and there is not one little thing that he doesn't understand and know intimately. Thank you for the opportunity to receive the good news that he can remake our lives and we can begin again. And thank you for the invitation onto a journey of light and life and hope and purpose. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who changes us day by day. And we pray in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.